Well, good afternoon and happy Sabbath to all, and happy Sabbath as well to those who are joining us over the webcast. Hope we're all having a very fine and enjoyable Sabbath day. Well, November is a time when many, especially in our country, think about the giving of thanks, of giving thanks to God for all of the good things he does for us, for his many blessings, to show appreciation and honor to God. For some people, they concentrate this thankfulness on one day a year, which is the national holiday here in the United States. For others, they like to think of something to be thankful every day of the month of November. So November is a time when we think about thanks. Again, some celebrate it on one day. Some think about it for every day during the month. But today, I want to encourage all of us to be thankful always, to always be thankful, not just concentrating on one day a year, not just concentrating on one month a year, but to be thankful all the time to God for all that he has done. The title of this sermonette, for those who like titles, is Always Be Thankful. We should be thankful to God for all of the blessings he's given to us, and regardless of who we are, he has given us much. He's given us much spiritually to be thankful for, and of course he's given us much physically, he's given us much spiritually. We have a lot to be thankful for in many areas. I'm going to start by looking at the definition of thanksgiving. It's a term that we use all the time. I think it's common for most of us, but it's always good to get a precise definition. According to dictionary.com, thanksgiving is a noun. It's the act of giving thanks, grateful acknowledgement of benefits or favors, especially to God. A second definition they have, dictionary.com, is an expression of thanks, especially to God. So God is certainly involved in this particular definition. As we recall, Thanksgiving Day in this country was originally a day set aside to give thanks and to honor God. It wasn't about family, friends, football, or food, or shopping. And it certainly wasn't Turkey Day. It was a day set aside to give thanks to God for his bountiful blessings that he'd poured out upon this country. One of the scriptures I like to think about, or one of the passages I like to think about at this time, is found in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, and specifically is verse 18. Let's turn to Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, and I'm not going to start in verse 18. We'll develop the context, and then we'll get down to that particular verse. Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, and I'm going to start reading in verse 7, or actually reading and or paraphrasing. Deuteronomy 8, starting in verse 7, here the Israelites are getting ready to go into the promised land. Moses is giving instructions from God to the people of Israel. And this is some of the instructions that God is giving, or that God is giving through Moses to the children of Israel. It says, "For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills." And it goes on to describe a great land. It doesn't say that right here, but it does elsewhere. A land of milk and honey, of an abundance amount of food, of minerals in the soil, of riches. Again, a good land. And in verse 9, it says, "You will lack nothing." Just think about that, lacking nothing. What it's a wonderful and a comfortable feeling. Continuing on, well, dropping down into verse 11, again, it talks about blessings of the land. In verse 11, there's a warning that goes with the instructions. It says, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful homes and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied." Again, beware when you say when your heart is lifted up. And for heart lifted up, I've got a marginal reference saying, becomes proud. Beware when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And then it talks about some warnings again about forgetting about God, forgetting his ways of turning to other gods. And then dropping down into verse 18 is a verse, I say, that I like to think about at this particular time of year. Verse 18, it says, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is today." It's couple of things in that verse. First thing it says, you shall remember the Lord your God. It's rather interesting. God tells us certain things that we need to remember, and those are the things we tend to forget. He also tells us that we should forget certain things, and those are the things for some reason we tend to latch on to and remember. So we should remember the Lord our God always. And then it says he gives us the power to get wealth. It doesn't necessarily say that he gives us the wealth, although the natural resources are there, but he gives us the power to get wealth. He gives us the ability, the skill, the wisdom, the understanding, and the environment in order to get wealth. I'm not going to dwell on this subject, but just think there are other countries around the world, other nations, that have a good amount of natural resources themselves, but they've not been able to use them or to develop them for the benefit, for their own benefit or the benefit of their people. And often, or sometimes in those areas, there is poverty that goes along in those particular nations where, again, there's a good amount of natural resources, but they're not able to develop them for the good of the people. Well, brethren, God gave Israel everything. He worked miracles for them. He brought them out of Egypt, performed miracles, sustaining them along the way, and regardless, brought them into a good land. They ended up forgetting. They turned their back on God, and they did look to other gods and forgot about the God of Israel. If we're not thankful, we might say the same thing as they said. You know, our hearts could be lifted up. We could say, you know, look at what we've done. Look what I have earned, you know, by my brilliance or my wisdom, my understanding. We have to be careful that we not forget. Being thankful helps us to remember. It helps us to not forget. What happens when we do forget about God? And there are warnings. I've already read a couple. We can look at verse 17 here. It's another warning. It's talking about, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And verse 18 says, you shall remember, which you've already read. And then verse 19 says, then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I will testify against you this day, you shall surely die. If we forget about God, bad things happen. All sorts of bad things happen. Ultimately, it's said that, you know, you shall surely die. Turn ahead to Romans, the first chapter. Romans, the first chapter, we'll see some words from the Apostle Paul that are similar to these words from Moses. That's Romans, the first chapter, and I'll start reading in verse 21, just breaking right into the context. It's one of Paul's long sentences, but Romans 1 and verse 21, it says, because although they knew God, talking about Israel at one time, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. So they were not thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Part of the reason of that is they were not thankful. They took their eyes off God, of what he has done, of what he is doing, and they did not give him thanks. Then in verse 22, it says, professing to be wise, they became fools. And that, again, is a natural consequence of forgetting about God. Verses 22 to 32 talks about various things that happen, all sorts of sins, all sorts of problems that people get into when they forget about God. So being thankful is very important. It keeps us mindful about God and about his ways and what he is doing for us. Turn to 2 Timothy, the third chapter. 2 Timothy, the third chapter. And I'll read the first couple of verses. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, is actually a prophecy for the end time that Paul has given. It talks about various sins and problems and behaviors that people get into. Again, 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 1, it says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. And then it continues on down to about verse 5 or so with various bad behaviors. But notice right there, right at the near the beginning, Paul says unthankful and unholy. You know, you might wonder, what does the word unthankful have, you know, to do with this list? You know, why is unthankful on this list of sins and behaviors? Well, think about it. I could answer that by asking another question. You know, what's so wrong with being unthankful? What's so wrong with forgetting about God? There are consequences when we forget about God. And being thankful, again, helps us to keep in remembrance of God so we do not forget. And as I've mentioned, we have many physical blessings to be thankful for. You know, here in this country, there's just a rich abundance. Even those who are struggling, and I know there are some who are struggling in this country, if you go to other nations, what is struggling here still is not good, but it can be a lot worse in other nations that do not have near the resources, near the opportunities that we have in this country. It just doesn't work out that way. We have much to be thankful for physically, and certainly spiritually, we have a lot to be thankful for. You know, our calling of being a first fruit, of knowing the truth, of knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ, and just on and on. We have much, much to be thankful for, both physically and, I'll say, especially spiritually. Turn back to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Another verse that I like to think about at this time of year. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. I'll start reading in verse 14. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, verse 14, where Paul says, "Now we exhort you, brethren," and he's coming to the end of his letter here. He's writing a series of short instructions and in conclusion and summary. It says, "We exhort you, brethren," and he exhorts about various points. I'm going to drop down to verse 16. It says, "Rejoice always." And then verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." And then in verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." So sometimes people wonder, well, what is God's will? You know, what does God want me to do? This is one of the things that God wants us to do, to give thanks. It's God's will that we give thanks. But notice also it says, "In everything give thanks." That beginning preposition is in. It's not for everything give thanks. It's in everything give thanks. We should give thanks for all. The Common English Bible says, "Give thanks in every situation because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." In everything, not just for everything, you know, not for, let's say, for our calling, not for the truth, not for our wife, not for our family, not for our friends. Although we can be thankful for those. I'm not saying that you can't. But Paul is saying here, in everything, give thanks. It kind of reminds me of Romans 8:28. "For we know that all things work out for good to those who are called, to those who love God and are called according to his purpose." So, brethren, we should give thanks for our physical blessings. And as I mentioned, there are many. We should give thanks for our spiritual blessings. As the Apostle Paul said, in everything we should give thanks. We should always be thankful.